Do you ever feel burnt out? The low-level stress of daily living can get to all of us. And when it started getting to author Catherine May, she began exploring an alternate approach to living, one she shares in her new book, Enchantment, Awakening Wonder in an Anxious Age. Catherine is the New York Times bestselling author of Wintering, The Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times. And her journalism and essays have appeared in publications, including the New York Times, the Times of London, and Good Housekeeping. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hello, my name's Catherine May, and I'm the author of Enchantment, Awakening Wonder in an Anxious Age. And I'm here to give you five key insights from my book. The first and most important one is to explain to you what enchantment is in the first place. The book begins with me in the middle of the pandemic, feeling impossibly flat. I describe myself as being a bit like my toothbrush when it's run nearly out of batteries and I switch on the button and it just gives me the kind of most feeble buzz possible. That's how I felt mid-pandemic. And there were many reasons for that. It was partly because I'd spent a long time outside of my community and outside of all the stimulating things that come with having community. And also because I hadn't had enough time to be on my own because I was around family. But there were also many other causes to that. You know, years and years and years of the world feeling like it was grinding against me. And I think many of us carry that sense that what we thought was a familiar society has become a very unfamiliar one, and one we don't feel comfortable in, one that's very conflict-ridden, one that's much more stressful than we realised, and one that it's hard to find our place in. But equally, I felt as we left the series of lockdowns that I didn't want to go back to my same old self. And I didn't want to go back to some of the habits that I'd had before the pandemic, where I was always rushing around too much. And this led to me to feel this profound sense of dislocation. What do I do now? How do I live a good life? So I started writing Enchantment to investigate that. And what I found was that I needed to acknowledge the level of change that had happened and to unlearn some bad old habits and to relearn some new ones. And one of the big things for me was that I needed to feel like I had a spiritual relationship with the world again, and one that I perhaps had never fully allowed myself to experience, and one that could nourish and sustain me and offer me comfort even when times were hard. And it was really important to me to understand that this wasn't about having some nice extras to life that were pointless. This was actually about how I survive and stay able to carry on taking good action in the world because I'm rested enough, I'm soothed enough, and I've made space to reflect on the things that matter. So enchantment is this word that I came to use to explain that exact feeling of being in a fluid, questing engagement with the world around me, particularly the natural world, which allows me to express the fullness of my creativity, of my wonder, of my awe, and of my fascination. And that is a quality that I think we all need in this very, very strange 21st century. So the second insight is really about how we bring that about, because loads of us feel very, very far away from that right at this point in time. And for me, I realised that I needed to start noticing my curiosity again in order to lead me into these relationships that were much deeper and richer. But I didn't really know how to do that. I felt very, very far away from feeling any desire at all. And I came back again and again to thinking about how easy it had been in my childhood. You know, as a child, I could spend hours with my little collection of rocks, holding them in my hands, finding them beautiful, playing with them, but also thinking about how they were formed and what that meant, you know, feeling that enormous timescale that they were created over and truly reckoning with that in my mind. And I came to realize that over time, as I moved towards adulthood, it wasn't that level of fascination had left me naturally. It was more that I began to feel embarrassed about it and that I deliberately put it away as something that didn't seem very useful to me anymore. It didn't seem very practical, didn't seem very grown up. And here I am in my 40s, mourning it and wishing that I still had some. And so I wondered how I could get it back. And that for me meant learning to follow the lines of my curiosity again, which took me some time. I did things like going out for walks and standing by the sea and trying to feel that pull again towards wonder. And it came back slowly but surely. I needed to practice it. I needed to exercise it like a muscle. But in order to do that, I needed to think about what attracted me personally. I do think that enchantment is different for everybody. Everybody is pulled towards different qualities. It might be music, it might be art, it might be swimming in the sea, it might be climbing a mountain, it might be stargazing. There are so many different ways that we can feel this connection, and many of us will feel it in loads of different ways, but it begins with noticing and noticing what matters to us, but then acting on it, feeling that pull and carrying on the exploration, letting ourselves feel fascinated by something and nurturing that quality of deep, immersive attention that lets us truly engage with something and certainly putting aside the idea that that's in some way superfluous or pointless. I think we need that to carry on. My third insight would be the link between humility and enchantment. That's a really important one for me because I think so much of our sense of enchantment is about understanding how small we are within these much greater systems. A big example for me is I live 5 minutes walk from my local beach, and I often walk down and stand by the quayside when the tide's gone out. And when I do that, I can see just how far the tide comes in, just how far above my head it will end up sitting when it's in. And I really love to, in my mind, try and calculate the volume of water that's rolling in and out every single day. And that takes me into this incredible space quite quickly, where I realize how enormous the world is. On one hand, it's a trite insight, but on the other, it's something that we can feel at a cellular level and really understand that we are part of a much, much bigger machinery. I feel the same way when I spend time looking at the moon in my back garden at night. None of these things require me to travel very far. Our sense of enchantment doesn't live somewhere far away and exotic that we've, you know, got to go on a mission to find. It's actually there all around us in whatever we want to engage our attention in. But what we need to do is to choose to engage that attention. And we can see the evidence of just how small we are. And that's important because when we realize that we're small, when we realize that we're humble compared to this bigger system, we can see ourselves in context with the rest of the world. And we can understand what an enormously wild and amazing thing humanity is, and what an enormously wild and amazing thing nature is. I used to feel unsettled by that thought. I used to feel worryingly insignificant. But as I grow older, I feel deeply comforted by it. I love feeling like I'm a cell or an atom rather than someone that the weight of the world rests on. My fourth insight would be to look for stories. Enchantment on its own is all very well, but we need to allow it to make meaning for us as we walk through our lives. And some of that meaning has been made by our ancestors and the other people around us already. And it's always useful to engage with the stories that already exist. So if I'm traveling to a new place, or if I'm looking for something to scratch that itch in my brain when I'm feeling a bit lost, I go out looking for the stories that have already been told around me. That might be the mythologies that have been already made around my local landscape. For example, the ghost stories that people tell, or the ancient myths that have fed into our place names or the names of our streets. I love to go to things like local museums and pick up guidebooks in bookshops, because often they will tell us about how other people have created meaning in the landscape around them. But they're often found in families too. You know, the way that families talk about themselves is a way of mythologizing. And stories are the way that we as humans come to not just understand ourselves, but process complex feelings and create a sense of the sacred, a sense of our values being imbued in everyday life. So one way to find enchantment and to cement it is to go out looking for those stories, to understand the meaning of what we're experiencing, and to add on to that, to create stories of our own and to make sure we pass them on, to become storytellers, to become family mythologizers, so that the next generation can imbue their own worlds with those values too. My final insight, and maybe this is the one that I'd like to leave you with the most, is that enchantment is a practice rather than a one-off experience. I think if I left this world with any mission having been completed, it would be to convince the world that they need to learn to never stop being a learner. I think that the glory of humanity is in that sense of questingness, in that desire to keep building and growing and adding new insights and finding new things and consolidating knowledge and sharing it and enriching it. And if we are to learn to be enchanted, we can't do it once. We have to keep coming back to it over and over again. And we have to keep exercising that muscle, renewing our fascination, and perhaps finding new objects for it too, perhaps expanding our view to fill a wider part of the world. How do you do this? How do you undertake this practice? Well, you just keep on noticing. Enchantment comes to us when we deliberately turn our attention to something that we find beautiful or fascinating, and when we contemplate it. So that practice is really about making time every single day, every single week, every single year to notice what is attracting that attention and to feed that attraction with even greater attention. As with so many things, practice is really hard. It takes determination, it takes consistency, it takes faith. And we shouldn't expect ourselves to come to this as perfect learners, as perfect practitioners of noticing. We need to be able to let ourselves fail sometimes, to let ourselves stray off the path and to gently guide ourselves back in. This can only happen through gentleness. Enchantment is not a competitive process. It will shrink away from you if you apply force to it. It's a practice that demands your gentle, kind, and loving attention on yourself as well as the attention on the world around you. So go out every single day just for a few seconds and take a breath and ask yourself, what is making you feel interested right now? What feels wonderful to you? What seems beautiful to you? What don't you know about that you'd love to understand? And since I've been engaging in this process, I've noticed more and more how inaccurate my knowledge is of the natural world around me. I've noticed, for example, that I didn't really know how the tides worked, even though I thought I did. And I went and looked that information up, and now I find them even more deeply fascinating for understanding them better. I noticed that I couldn't name many of the stars in the sky, and I'm still working on that. But it does give me a greater orientation when I look out at night. I noticed that I knew the names of very few plants and flowers, and that actually I couldn't name as many trees as I perhaps thought I had. And so now when I go out walking, I rehearse the names that I already know, and I make a note of the plants that I don't know the names of and look them up. And that enhances my well of possibility when I'm looking to feel enchanted. And it makes that process much more natural to me. It means that it comes to me because I can't help but notice the things I know. And it makes the things I don't know more obvious. And I think ultimately it makes me a kinder teacher too, to other people, because I now feel deep compassion for how little we know. And I can share that knowledge much more gently and much more kindly. Thank you. And I'm grateful for your time.
Thank you, Catherine. That was Catherine May with five big ideas from Enchantment, Awakening Wonder in an Anxious Age. You might also like our book bite for Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life by Dacher Keltner. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.